Thank you.
Next, we'll move on to item 20, which is the Santa Cruz Branch Rail Line Replacement Operator. There is a number of materials, a staff report, a notice of default to Iowa Pacific Holdings, response from Iowa Pacific, request for proposals for rail service operator with evaluation criteria, proposal from Progressive Rail. The public comments we receive, other proposals are available online. Good morning, Mr. Dondero.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Mendez and I are going to give a little bit of a contextual introduction to this item before we actually get into the details of the staff report.
Okay.
So Luis is going to start to give folks a little bit of history on this rail line, because most of the commissioners here today were not on the commission back in 2012 when we took possession of the rail line. And so we think it would be good to sort of revisit where how we got here today. So Luis.
Okay. Good morning, commissioners. Some of you may know that in the late 80s, this county succeeded in its efforts to make sure it was included in a statewide bond measure to raise funds for rail transportation improvements and development. That was Proposition 116, which passed in 1990 with 53% approval by the voters in the state of California and 60% approval by the voters in Santa Cruz County. And it included $11 million for Santa Cruz County for passenger rail projects. A couple decades later, in February 2010, after much work and many public meetings and much public participation, the RTC voted unanimously to request over $20 million in Proposition 116 and other transit funds from the California Transportation Commission for purchase of the rail line and for rail improvements to the rail line, as well as to institute recreational passenger rail service. And in May 2010, after many years of negotiations, extensive due diligence, and many public meetings, including an evening public hearing the month before, the RTC voted again unanimously to enter into a purchase and sale agreement with Union Pacific for the rail line, including commitments to continue freight service and make rail improvements to the line. A few months later, in August 2010, the RTC voted against unanimously to accept conditions imposed by the California Transportation Commission to be able to consider the RTC's request for funding, and those conditions included the continuation of freight rail service as long as it is required by the Surface Transportation Board and the institution of recreational passenger rail service. Then finally, in January 2011, after much work by several commissioners here at the RTC to convince the California Transportation Commission that this was indeed a transit project worthy of funding as requested, and assurances that the Santa Cruz County would not perform a bait and switch, the CTC approved funding for the purchase improvements to the Santa Cruz Branch Rail Line with conditions, including that the RTC would refund the money if the RTC ceased to utilize the project for the intended public passenger rail purpose, and also requiring the RTC to add $250,000 in other funds for some acquisition costs. 2 weeks later, this commission again voted unanimously to approve the additional funds required by the CTC to be able to accept the funding and the conditions of the CTC. Then in October of 2012, as many of you know now, the RTC, after selecting an operator for the rail line and obtaining approval from the Surface Transportation Board, completed the purchase of the rail line. And that kicked off an extensive public process that lasted over 2 years with many public meetings and much public participation, which culminated in 2014 when the RTC approved a master plan, an environmental document for the Monterey Bay Sanctuary Scenic Trail Network, with the main component as a trail next to the rail line. And that master plan was also adopted by the county and the three cities through which the rail line travels. And as you know, in 2016, over two-thirds of Santa Cruz County voters.
It's hard to hear you in the back.
Okay. Sorry about that. Then in 2016, as you know, over two-thirds of Santa Cruz County voters approved Measure D for funding of a variety of transportation projects, and that included preservation of the rail corridor infrastructure and analysis of its future potential use, to include analysis to answer community questions about possible future transit and other uses, and to maintain and repair the Santa Cruz Branch rail line. Now, RTC does have a policy in place regarding use of the rail corridor. It is stated clearly in the Monterey Bay Century City Trail Master Plan in Policy 1.2.4, which says develop trails in such a way so that future rail transit service along the corridor are not precluded. The master plan was adopted unanimously by the RTC and also by the cities of Watsonville, Capitola, and Santa Cruz. So it is a policy. And the RTC has been consistent with that policy and its commitments to use the Santa Cruz Branch rail line for multiple transportation purposes, including rail service. And even in the face of some very vocal, active, and organized opposition, there has been significant community support for the commission's actions, including traveling to Sacramento to try to make sure that the CTC approved the funding for the project. With that, I'll hand it over to the executive director to provide some additional comments.
Okay, so coming up to current times, I don't want to repeat anything that Luis said. It was a very thorough history. More recently, the commission did conduct a rail transit feasibility study in 2015. And there are some misconceptions about that. There's also some misconceptions about rail banking and what options the RTC is now considering through the Unified Corridor Study. First, the feasibility study was not a proposal for rail transit. The hypothetical estimates in the study are not under consideration by RTC as options for the future. The study is not viewed as a blueprint for the future. The study was a theoretical look based on types of service for which data were available at the time at what was possible on the rail line. Also theoretical is the concept called rail banking. It sounds enticing. Pull up the tracks now and then put them back someday in the future. The reality is that after thousands of miles of tracks have been torn up over the three decades since the term was coined by Congress, not a single mile of track is believed to have ever been replaced. While it's an attractive idea, the truth is that no one has ever seen rail return after it has been designated rail banked. So as Luis mentioned, Measure D, which was approved by two-thirds of the voters, includes funding for a public transparent study of options for use in the rail corridor. And that study is now underway. It is called the Unified Corridors Investment Study, and it will be completed by the end of this year. But a couple of myths need to be addressed here. First, in the case of the rail with trail scenario, the study does not envision that the RTC will run trains immediately. It does envision the tracks will be preserved for future use if the community decided to pursue funding for rail service. Before drawing any conclusions on the best use of the rail line, the Unified Corridor Investment Study needs to be completed. It will inform the commissioners and the public about a recommended use of the corridor based on clear performance metrics. So one last point of confusion is that some people have the impression that when the RTC agreed to study a scenario of including a trail without rail service in the study, that somehow all use of the rail line would cease or that all prior commitments regarding rail operations would be set aside. I'm saying this because based on a lot of the public comments we've received through email, not only on this item, but in past months. For many reasons, that is clearly not the case, and hence the item before you today to choose a new operator now that the current one is ready to leave. So with that, I will now hand it back to Luis, and he will walk you through quickly through the staff report so we can get on with the discussion. Thank you.
As you know, commissioners, unfortunately, the financial situation of the existing operator on the rail line changed significantly, and they have not been able to fulfill the terms of the agreement. Sorry. Okay, I got to make sure I sit here close to the mic. Sorry about that. So anyway, as you know, the current operator has not been able to fulfill the terms of the agreement, because their financial situation changed significantly. And after providing notice of default to the operator, they responded by saying they would agree to cooperate with the RTC on transitioning to a new operator. Therefore, a request for proposals was released to seek a new operator. Five proposals were received and reviewed, and the evaluation of the proposals by the RTC staff and a RTC rail consultant, it resulted in the proposal by Progressive Rail rising to the top as the strongest proposal. The proposal from Progressive Rail demonstrates significant experience managing, maintaining, and operating rail properties. The service plan is reasonable for both freight and passenger operations and shows gradual planned growth in addition of service. The team also inspected the track and structures, and so they know what they're getting into and the needs that are out there, and they provide an outline for how they would do things. Now, the RTC staff also checked references for Progressive Rail and found that they had pretty much the same experience as we have here in Santa Cruz County elsewhere. In North Carolina, there was also an operation, BioPacific, where they pretty much did the same thing as they did here because of their financial situation, racked up a lot of unpaid bills, and basically left a lot of bad will towards rail service. And the North Carolina Department of Transportation decided to go through an RFP process, and through that process they selected Progressive Rail as well, and they've been out there for, I believe, a little over a year now. And the reports that we got from that reference check were very, very positive, and they were very impressed with the activities of Progressive Rail, the work they have done so far to make sure that some of the freight service that was slated to leave as a result actually did not leave, and to start creating positive and goodwill towards rail service in the community again. So they're very pleased with the work of Progressive Rail. Therefore, staff does recommend that the RTC select Progressive Rail to operate the Santa Cruz Branch Rail Line and authorize the Executive Director to negotiate an agreement with Progressive Rail and return to the RTC for consideration of the negotiated agreement. And I just want to highlight that your action today does not indicate approval of any agreement. It's the authorization to start negotiating an agreement with this operator if you so choose that the staff recommendation. And that approval of the agreement would come back to the RTC. Also, Progressive Rail wanted to say a few things and make a short presentation to you, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
Morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much, commissioners. My name's Craig McKenzie. I'm the chairman and CEO of Progressive Rail, and it's a pleasure to be here where it's 40 degrees warmer than where our headquarters is in Minneapolis. Mr. Chairman, thank you for allowing me to make a brief presentation. The goal of the presentation here is to provide a snapshot of Progressive Rail and to also discuss how we're approaching Santa Cruz from the outside. After the presentation, I would be happy to field any questions you may have. And in that regard, I bring two members of our executive team. One is Jim Thornton, Chief of Staff and General Counsel, and the other is Jeremy Erlacher, our Managing Director of Operations Services. Jeremy is a civil engineer by training and has personally inspected all of the branch line, all 32 miles of it, including the bridges, and has also brought in an outside engineering firm from Irvine to do rail inspections, including the trestle in Capitola. With respect to Progressive Rail, here's a snapshot in this illustration. You can see that we have 10 railroads in six states. One that Lewis was mentioning a while ago is in Gastonia, North Carolina. Gastonia is a suburb of Charlotte. And in three of our railroads, we are the operator for municipalities. And in that case, we are actually operator for the North Carolina Department of Transportation. In terms of our company, how we go about business, we go beyond rail and also have services that provide warehousing. We also have transloading services, and also we modify products from in one of our lines of business. We actually do processing and packaging of animal feed. Union Pacific is very familiar with us, as the commission is aware. Union Pacific interchanges with the branch line, and we are Union Pacific's largest handling carrier by carload volume. And so they're very familiar with us. We are used to working with them. Should come as no surprise that we are pro-rail. We are a green enterprise. We don't just talk about it. We actually put it into action. We have modern technology, diesel electrics. So essentially think of locomotives as hybrids. One of our railroads is all electric. It's the last freight railroad run off of electricity in North America. And that's in northern Iowa. We have a not-so-secret mission of taking trucks off the highways. We don't mind last-mile trucking because we do focus on customers who are not directly on the line, but we do connect them with last-mile trucking. And but every time you see a long 100-car train, you can think that it's taking 400 trucks off the highways. With respect to being resilient, our locomotives don't care about the weather. We have redundancy in our systems. We are very dependable and can be counted upon to move freight expeditiously. With respect to passengers, mass transit favors rail service, and we think there's a bright future here in this county for mass transit, for rapid transit with trains. But for us, we just see ourselves as a bit of a segue, a meaningful segue in that regard. We do think of ourselves as different from the competition in terms of rail service. We don't just build and restore rail lines. We go beyond that. So many times we are faced with railroads that are near abandonment or have been underutilized. And so what we do as a first step is restore the integrity of the railroad. And then we start addressing customers and welcoming them back to rail service. Many industrial users of freight transportation have forgotten how to use railroad. It used to be commonplace, but now trucking is so easy. And so we have gone out of our way to make it easy. And so what we do is focus on comprehensive solutions to customers, from last mile trucking to warehousing to transloading to, at points in time, investing directly in our customers to enable them to actually go about their business. And also we connect them with the Class 1 railroads, making it easy for them. We invest in equipment, in real estate, in buildings. We restore buildings. Some of the photos in this slide are examples. The top one is what was known as the Ampey Building, has now become Red Diamond. And it was a 100-plus-year-old warehouse where we hauled out over 40 dumpster loads of refuge. And we have turned it into a showcase of transloading and processing services. The middle photographs is on the left side is a before picture of the Wisconsin Northern Railroad. It was near abandonment. On the right side is a recent photograph of that railroad, and it is, I believe, it's number 6 in short line carload capacity today, number 6 in the country. So it is certainly our crown jewel in our company, and it's a great showcase of what we stand for. And the last one is Gastonia, the suburb of Charlotte. There's a before and after, and this is why the North Carolina Department of Transportation is very happy with us, because we've taken essentially what was a crack house and turned it into a very reputable transloading center. Focusing on Santa Cruz, safety, rail integrity, these principles are paramount to what we do. And so we don't cut corners. We do everything straight down the middle. We go beyond the integrity of what's needed. Commissioner, you're asking about Watsonville, the integrity of the rail. It is FRA compliant, it is legal, and it serves the purpose for the freight. But I would assert that Progressive Rail would have an even higher standard for that rail. We go beyond what is needed for FRA compliance. In terms of how we would approach Santa Cruz, we think there's a number of steps and a continuum that are prudent for this county with respect to the rail. So first of all, we would focus on Watsonville, where the operations exist, but we think they can be so much better. And we've begun our journey already in terms of identifying new areas of freight, both inbound into Watsonville and outbound. A second step in the continuum would be excursions. And I can appreciate this commission is more focused on transportation than tourism, but I would like to say that there's a connectivity between the two ideas. And what we would like to do is welcome people back to the railroad, welcome them back to the branch line, and focus on areas that we think are the easiest first steps, which would be the rail line west of Santa Cruz towards Davenport. And we believe excursions in that area would certainly be enticing in their own regard. But it would be a meaningful segue, because even just to get equipment to that area, you're going to have to focus on the railroad integrity of the entire line upstream of that area. And then also, people in this room or on the commission may recall the suntan specials that connected San Jose to the boardwalk. We have a goal to reinstate that. We've already begun that process just through our research and communications or meetings with relevant parties. And we think it would also be a good contribution to reducing traffic on Highway 1 and Highway 17 during the summer, the peak summer months. So obviously in the continuum further down the line is rapid transit. We leave it to the commission to flesh that out, and of course you have some studies underway that will come out later in the year. We see ourselves as a meaningful transition and segue towards that. With respect to rails and trails, my simple message to the commission is that Progressive Rail stands at the ready to help you, to facilitate it, to play an active role as directed. Rails and trails can easily coexist. There's numerous examples across the country where this is occurring. The photographs in this slide are close to our headquarters, and this is the line on the shoreline of Lake Superior, where you have rails and trails coexisting for dozens of miles. We hope 2018 will be a very busy year for us. We would like to hit the ground running. In this illustration, what we're trying to show is how we would go about taking first steps to focus on the entire line. And it would start from the right-hand side, focusing on warehousing and freight services in Watsonville. Again, there are existing operations. You heard the gentleman earlier with biodiesel. We have service in mind for that company's growth, as well as enticing new customers to the area. Across the line, we're going to be focusing on equipment, on car selection, and obviously with the highways and the pedestrians, we would focus on crossings and signals. We have our own internal department who handles this. This is a very important area with regard to our operations. So some things we outsource, but in areas like this, we have our own standalone teams that bring it all in-house and focus on the integrity of these areas. Capitola Bridge, that bridge is 115 years old, thereabouts. And we have inspected it with American Railroad engineers out of Irvine, California. And we have essentially started building up our baseline understanding of that bridge, along with all the bridges on the line. We will work with the boardwalk. The suntan special is not just going to fall from the sky. It's going to take a lot of work and effort to bring it back. And like I said, we've begun work efforts on that. And then focusing on the western end of the line, it's going to take some time to be prepared to put forward high-quality, pleasurable excursions that that would be a great experience for everyone. This is my last two slides. I think we're going to have a very positive impact, not just for this commission, but for the county. We're going to be a direct investor in the county, and from that, there will be indirect investments, knock-on or follow-on investments that follow us. We're going to be a direct employer and also a sizable indirect employer with the activities that we have planned. So with the maintenance programs, with any rebuildings or repairs, and then getting into the warehousing and so forth, we think that this operation will follow suit just like our other operations. We've become a meaningful employer and source of economic development in the counties and municipalities where we operate, and we're going to increase the tax base of this area. Tourism will benefit. We will have a positive impact on all the industries that support tourism, and with respect to your scenic beauty that you have here, we think that we could have a positive impact on those areas as well with regard to security, waste management, safe passage, signage. We're not just a railroad, and that's a point I want to keep reinforcing. We try to think of exactly what it all takes and how it needs to come together. We don't want to step into the role and usurp government, but we stand at the ready to help. With regard to these two photographs, the top one's just a rendering, and the bottom one is an actual photograph in San Diego, showing the rail line and pedestrians. And again, I think a solid fringe benefit of everything that we're trying to do is going to be a reduction of traffic and a reduction of greenhouse gases.